This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rise above and be in control with today's business headlines, driven by Volvo Cars.
BFM 89.9, it is 8:48 in the morning. I'm Koo Soo Chong and I'm with Joyce Goh. We're talking about the business news, but before we go into that, some clarifications. I earlier said that Suhakam is a human rights NGO. They are not. They are much more than that. They are a national human rights institution established under the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia Act 597. It is a statutory body created by Parliament and not merely an NGO. The other thing I would like to clarify is the fact that Malaysia is not AA3, as I mentioned earlier. It is A3, and that's a Moody's rating. Let's take it a step further. It is also an A- Malaysia's debt rating. Is also an A- under Fitch and an A-2 under S&P. So there you go. Some clarifications on earlier discussions. Now, in terms of where the Malaysian business news currently sits, now, of course, yesterday during a briefing on Budget 2019, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng has come out a call for Goldman Sachs to return the $588 million that it had received in fees for 1MDB deals that it advised on. And of course, this comes in the wake of the fact that Goldman Sachs President David Solomon said that he was, quote-unquote, highly distressed that at least three Goldman's executives were involved in this whole debacle.
That's right. So for the finance minister said, you know, since Goldman Sachs has admitted to its involvement in the 1MDB financial scandal, it should undertake to return the fees it was paid. I mean, we're not talking about very little money here. We're talking about some 2.4 billion ringgit, right? That's the kind of fees and that we're talking about. And this Goldman Sachs chief executive officer, David Solomon, he admitted that their employees had broken the law over 1MDB matters. And I totally agree with the minister, right? Because David Solomon also said that, you know, he felt horrible about the role that former Goldman employees had played in this 1MDB scandal. And following this news, Guan Eng was in Penang recently to talk about the budget 2019, and he brought this up.
Well, the thing is, the Department of Justice has indicted Tim Leisner and Roger Ng, both bankers involved in the 1MDB deals. And of course, we know that by now, Tim Leisner has actually pleaded guilty to his charge under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. Of course, that was obviously an attempt to reduce the sentence on him. And Roger Ng, of course, also one of the other individuals. Now, of course, also various news reports saying that at least 20 to 30 other banking executives were complicit in this deal, or on a series of deals that Goldman's advised on. So it's not just these two individuals. And only the courts will eventually decide how much of a sentence and how much of a penalty Goldman Sachs must pay. What we do also know is the fact that Goldman's has retained a prominent defense attorney and former deputy attorney general, who was once the boss of the DOJ's head of criminal investigations, a man called Mark Phillip, to help the bank in their defense against the Department of Justice indictments. So it's getting very serious for Goldman's. And I think YB Lim Guan Eng is right in saying, it's one thing to say that you're highly concerned or highly distressed about
you feel horrible.
return the fees, return these ill-gotten gains.
Exactly. And did you know Tim Leisner was actually a former partner for Goldman Sachs in Asia? At a time, I think, when he was raising all these fees and doing all these deals, he was the star. I wouldn't say he was a rising star. He was the star at the bank. And speaking about, all these deals and all that, you know, it comes down to when it comes to investment banking and all that is whether or not the banker can land deals and what kind of clients the banker can bring in.
I actually had lunch with Tim Leisner a few times because he was the coverage guy. And of course, if you're covering the country, you're covering the region like I was for Bloomberg back in those days, you've got to lunch the big bankers. And, you know, Tim Leisner.
How was he like?
Ultra smooth guy. 6'2", 6'3", blonde, blue eyes, impeccably dressed, very well spoken. He could sell oil to a snake oil salesman. He could sell snow to an Eskimo. That's how smooth he was. A very smooth guy. And he was obviously very instrumental in the 1MDB bonds and the kind of deals that they were advising on. And, all this news with David Solomon and this, the DOJ indictment comes at the same time that Goldman Sachs themselves have announced their partner list for 2018. And the partner list is obviously exalted ground for bankers in Goldman's, because if you're made a partner, then you become a profit-sharing employee, and it's big bucks for you. Just 69 people named in the 2018 class.
That's the smallest, right, Chong?
That's one of the smallest in recent history. They made a big deal about their gender diversity and the racial diversity, things like that. You know, they said about a quarter women, highest percentage ever.
Yeah, I think about 26% women. So that's the highest percentage ever. 20% of these partners in this class of 2018 are Asians. That's highest in 8 years, and 6% of them are black. That's the highest percentage ever. Looking at this, and 69 partners is the smallest class in about two decades. In 2016, they had 84 partners.
Can I just, you know, I mean, ridiculous, right? Goldman Sachs is a predominantly American bank. It has hired 6% blacks, the highest ever in its among its ranks as partners, right? But it's got 20% Asians, right?
Mm.
Come on. Why? Why have you got three times as many Asians than black people in your among your ranks as partners? It's crazy, right? You're America, right?
Also, looking at the divisional breakdown.
I want to make a point here, right? They've put 21 partners in investment banking. They've promoted another 28 in securities, but they've only promoted one partner in compliance and one partner in risk.
So does that show where their priorities
lie? It just shows
lie?
You, what, you know. Do you remember Rolling Stone magazine? They wrote a story, a huge, huge, amazing feature story on Goldman Sachs back in the day, about 4 or 5 years ago. It was called a vampire squid. And there's a picture of a squid on someone's face just sucking the blood out of that face,
oh,
right?
Okay.
Because of the profit and greed that was most interested in.
The fees.
This is Goldman Sachs for you.
And
the Malaysian government hired it to arrange in bonds.
Yeah, so in this class of 2018, some 29% of them are millennials as well. And 67% of them started out at Goldman Sachs as analysts and associates.
So, okay, let's move on to another story here, okay? Back in the day, of course, Najib was hiring Goldman Sachs. Najib was going to China. Najib was talking to Jack Ma. But our new Prime Minister, Tun Mahathir, he's gone to Japan.
Mm.
And Japan has been a subject of his adorations for many, many years. He is actually speaking to JR Kyushu Railway to help them to help our KTM in improving our rail services. He's getting them to help us in terms of moving more carriage across the country, not by road, by via rail. He's also getting them to get us more, to be more efficient in our train services.
Actually, yeah, looking at our national railway, I think the train services are almost completed, but only 30% are being used. And looking at their earnings, Kereta Api Tanah Melayu, that's KTM, they made a pre-tax profit of 4.5% in the financial year 2017. That's the first time in 20 years they posted a profit trunk for the fiscal year, and that's not due to one-off gains. That's the first time ever. If we look at the accumulated losses, that has widened to 2.9 billion ringgit.
Do you remember in February this year, we went to Ipoh?
Yes.
On a BFM trip on this retreat, right?
On the train.
On the KTM,
we took the train.
What did you think?
Well, firstly, well, it was expected though. It was not on time. What I found interesting was that we had tickets, and when we went into the train, we could not find our seats because there were no seats for the tickets. But we paid for the tickets.
And then I tried to book my ticket online, couldn't because the website was a mess.
System down or what?
No, it was just a mess. It was just, I think pulling teeth would have been easier. Would have been less painful.
Well, looking at this, Tunam said that, you know, they've requested the Japanese company JR Kyushu to assist in conducting a study to enhance the roles and benefits of our railway system here in Malaysia. I think this could be positive. Definitely, we can learn from the Japanese when it comes to their railway lines. Because you know how the Japanese are, right?
Incredible.
Their trains and how on time they are, how clean their trains are. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, KTM just posted a very small profit for 2017, but its accumulated losses for KTM has widened to nearly 3 billion ringgit. So it continues to bleed money. The other thing that Japan is going to help us with is obviously in terms of raising some capital. Now, Malaysia is considering a samurai bond. Now, that could help the country raise 7.4 billion ringgit under this samurai bond with a 10-year tenure with an indicative coupon rate of 0.65%. So that is a lot cheaper than the 6.5% that 1MDB was charging us.
It's very different,
right?
Yeah. So this current bond issue is expected to be issued before March next year. And Tun M has said that, you know, this offer could help ease our financial burden here in Malaysia as well as assist in our development.
But I think quite interestingly as well, one of our listeners, a man called, I just don't know whether man or woman, but an individual named Tohun Ki, pointing out that forex denominated loans should be you should beware them, because there's things like interest parity models for exchange rate movements. I think in plain English it means that if you are raising money on a currency, you've got to be also wary that it's also exposed to currency fluctuations and the volatility of two currencies.
Foreign currency risks. And whether or not, we should hedge for that, I think that's a good point to bring up. Also in Japan, Trump, Prime Minister, in his three-day visit to Japan, he met up with SoftBank founder Masayoshi Son yesterday, and that spurred discussions on collaboration to help Malaysia boost our economy and also resolve our current finances.
Yeah, so Najib goes to Jack Ma, we go to Masayoshi Son. Mm-hmm. Both are billionaires, both like technology. And both have been asked to help us out. I think Masayoshi Son was asked to sit on Kazana's board.
But I think
Masayoshi said, sorry, no time.
Sorry, no time. Well, he said that he is less effective as an advisor and he will be better in investments.
That's the polite way of saying, sorry, no time. Okay, it is nearly time for the 9 o'clock news, but we'll be coming back after that with a market hour. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Keeping you on track for peak business performance with the new Volvo XC40, the expression of innovation. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.